I sat back and I'm like, this is incredible. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Your dad's name. Did that pave a way for you?
She was basically saying that he could match your club head speed with a forearm.
Showtime.
Showtime. Well, another episode, Arthie. Mm. And this morning we are so fortunate and lucky and had a lot of fun and laughs already. And hopefully we can continue that now on the show. But we've got Corbin Bosch with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been chatting to Arthur. I've watched a couple of your podcasts and your shows quite a bit now. And I was a little bit injured at one stage. So I wanted to be a little bit earlier than I am. But I'm so grateful to be here.
Oh, thank you, Corbin. We are so grateful for you taking the time here because, you know, cricket and golf is always a correlation. It's amazing that the cricketers and the rugby players all end up also always becoming golfers. We had Scott Brits on here in our, what is our third episode, and what an athlete he is, you know. And so interesting to hear the transition also from cricket to golf, because in golf, when it comes to amateurs, we always joke about that cricket drive that Oaks have in golf. You know what I mean?
When it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that 1 o'clock drive.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for being here. And I'd like to kick off on a very exciting note, if you don't mind.
Of course, go.
So, Corbin, at the moment, and just to give people a bit of clarity, there's a connection to the Titans. There was a connection to the
Rajasthan Royals.
And this morning you gave us some news.
Yeah, so I got a phone call by my agent on Tuesday evening while I was just at dinner with my parents, which I like to do every now and again. My mom misses me half the time. But so he phoned me, it's like, has anyone called you or messaged you about anything? And I sat there, I'm like, okay, cool. I know I asked you earlier in the day, like, where's my Grant Nichols stuff coming? So I thought, okay, cool, maybe someone's going to message me about that. And he goes to me and he says, no, you've been picked up for the Canada T20. And I sat back and I was like, I didn't expect it.
Cause it's a lot better than receiving cricket bats.
100%. The only thing that's better is maybe receiving golf clubs. Yeah. So, TaylorMade, if you're watching.
He is playing with Tiger Woods irons at the moment.
Okay.
He is.
I'm a big Tiger fan.
I'll be honest with you. I reckon if you had to go back in life, you would screw the cricket and play golf.
Okay.
All I'm saying is cricket ruins my golf swing.
Not the other way around.
Not the other way around.
But Corbin, let's take a step back, because there's obviously incredible accolades that you've really got to your name, and you're only 28 years old, but you had very early success in cricket as well, and I refer to the World Cup team, which was 2019, I'm right?
2014.
My apologies, 2014. But just take us a little bit back, where this all started for you. You were born in Pretoria, and just give us a little bit of a summary to where you
start
are
today. From the beginning.
Yeah.
From the way back.
Yeah.
Durban born.
Durbanmore, yes. Right.
So my dad played cricket for South Africa.
Yeah, very famously.
He was in the 1992 World Cup, so he was a part of that team. So I was kind of like born into it. The first videos of me, I often go to my grandparents and they'll show videos. And by the time I could walk was the time that my mom was rolling a ball on the floor and I had my little cricket bat on the side hitting away, and she would often go, when she went to watch my dad play a lot of his cricket, I would be on the side and she would roll balls and I'd hit. I wasn't much of a bowler then, like I am now. And she would just throw the ball for me and I'd hit like till from the beginning of the day to the end, little nap in between.
Yeah.
Nap doesn't hurt. And it's one of those where like I just have such a passion for the sport. My dad actually wanted me to be a golfer growing up. But it was just one of those things where he left a legacy that I wanted to continue. And even through high school, I was probably a better hockey player at high school. I played SA hockey under 18s for 2 years, which I was very fortunate enough to do. And yeah, I've been around sport. My mom is very, very supportive. Not one of those moms that gets too involved.
Yeah. That hits you from the side.
She's the one that took you to all the practices.
Like, there's some
and parents, at the coaches and the refs.
Yeah, so I luckily had a mom that was very supportive, but not too like involved. Like she just wanted me to get on, and she provided me with all the coaching, whatever it may be, any gear and whatever. So, and then it got to a stage where I left school and I went to Tux Cricket Academy. At the time, I thought I could play hockey as well, but there was a time that when I realized that my hockey days were done was when I actually went down in a long barrier and put my hand down to stop the ball. And I was like, I think because I was
cricket action.
I was a keeper. I was a keeper at school, and you're supposed to use your feet. But as soon as I gave it the long barrier, I realized I think it's my time. And then yeah, I got selected for SA19 just as I left school. We played against England, played really well. We beat them 5-0. And then towards the middle of the year, we had another SA camp. Then we went to India, and then I got a stress fracture. And then with the World Cup in sight, like, we kind of managed that I need to do a hell of a lot of rehab to get me in a position that I could play in the World Cup. And yeah, the World Cup was probably, I think, the highlight of my career thus far. And it was just such an incredible tournament where it wasn't a bunch of superstars. I mean, you have the likes of Kagiso Rabada, yeah. Aiden Markram, that have obviously really excelled in the time. But at the time, the whole team was never centered around superstars. Like, everyone performed, everyone chipped in. And yeah, we played an amazing final against Pakistan. And I fortunately did really well that day, and I was man of the match in the final. So that's also one of my highlights and one of my greatest achievements. And I can be very proud for myself for that. And since then, I was fortunate enough later in the year, I made my Titans debut for T20 cricket. That came a little bit out of the blue. And then, yeah, I went overseas a little bit. I played a little bit of cricket in Australia. Thoroughly enjoyed it. The way that they play their cricket and the way that they think about the game is so vastly different to what South Africans at the time were thinking about the game and whatnot. So when I came back, my coach at the Northerns, which was the amateur side at the time, he was like, I really would like you to stay. And I eventually stayed, and now 5-6 years later, still playing for the Titans, loving every minute of it. And yeah, I recently got selected for SAA, which was another fantastic achievement. Unfortunately, I couldn't go because I got a stress reaction, unfortunately, and I just wasn't able to heal in time. We thought it might just be an injury risk, so we kind of like left that off. And yeah, now I'm here today, like, happily signed with Canada, and got an exciting few months ahead of me.
Wow, that's it was quite a lot, and I always want, you know, the guests to say that part of it. But if I can just go back slightly on some of the stuff you said. So getting into the under 14 SA team, how does that come about?
So like under 19s and whatever. So you go, you play a thing called Cubs Week.
Yeah.
So you have your provincial weeks at the end of your matric year, and then they select a handful of people from the different regions. So like your Mpumalangas, your Limpopos, let's say Northerns and Easterns will all fall under the Titans. And then the best players from those teams will go into a better squad that would play in the beginning of January. And then you play in January, and then they selected your SA under 19 sides from that. And I was very fortunate. I had a pretty good tournament, and yeah, I was selected for SA under 19s. And yeah, the rest is history.
That's absolutely incredible. And if you don't mind me, you're pushing you a little bit. Your dad's name, did that pave a way for you? Or it does come down to the individual capacity and ability?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it just means that people are aware of who I am.
Yeah.
But I always said, I mean, I've always, even now, I always had his number on the back of my shirt. But like, I wanted to do something different, like leading up to this season, where like, I'm very, like, passionate and driven by, like, him and all of his successes. And my big thing was, how can I carry on that legacy but make it my own? So, like, I mean, I got a tattoo with his name on and his number on my right-hand side, because I do all my sport right-handed. So I wanted something that I'm constantly reminded that he's there, but I want to be my own person. And like you said, it comes down to the individual. And that's where I feel like at the moment I just need to separate myself from him to a degree, where I am my own cricketer. Like, we didn't even play the same roles. Like, he was very much a bowler, that who thought he could bat, apparently. But whereas I tend to do both.
Yeah, you considered an all-rounder.
Yes. Yeah. And so I want to create my own identity. So I've changed my number this season, but I got his birthday tattooed on my arm to signify that he is always there, that I don't need a number on my jersey to signify that, like, I play the sport for him, or and he is the reason why I play the game of cricket.
What made you change your number?
I was going to... Good question.
So, as I said, like, I wanted to create my own identity, my own brand. And at the time, like, I feel like I need to express myself for the person I am, and no longer... I never felt I lived in the shadow.
Yes.
But I wanted to be Corbin the cricketer.
Mm.
And as I said, that's why I got the tattoo. I was like, I got it on the back of my right, so I know I don't always see him, but I know he's right there and he's always got my back.
Mm.
So that was the reason why I got it at the back of my right. And I got my mom on the left because she's the most precious woman to me on this planet, and no one can come anywhere close to her. So
good luck to your girlfriends and future wives.
I'm with Corbin on this one. Yes, good luck to them fitting into that perspective.
I'm giving him a little bit.
She definitely, the flag is very high.
Yeah.
I hold her in the highest regard. She's my everything. So if a woman can come half to be half as good as her, I found a proper one. But I just, like, family is, like, very important. And as I said, she's been supportive with me throughout my entire career. And I'm actually blessed to be on the journey that I have been on. I know I haven't maybe achieved all the things that I want to, but I do believe that things come at the right time.
Mm.
And if I keep doing the right things at the right time, it's a matter of time before things happen for me.
Cool. Who's a better golfer between you and your brother?
Handicap-wise, it's me.
Yeah.
But he's been playing some good golf of late, but I still got him covered.
Okay.
He might not like it. He's definitely a much better putter than I am. But I think when it comes to the long game, I think I've got him.
And have you got him out yet?
No, that's a soft topic. He's got me out twice now. He got me out last season in a one-day game. He bounced me when we said, there's no rule. We're not going to bounce each other.
So he broke the rule.
I may have kind of walked halfway down the wicket. So he maybe felt a little bit disrespectful, which probably it was. But yeah, he got me out there, and he got me out in Durban, which I was at least on 69 at the time, and I was trying to hit him for six, as any brother would. But funny enough, like, he is more technically more the batter. He was a better batter at me at school, but I bowled less balls to him than he's bowled to me.
Mm.
So either he must come in early and not be scared to face me, or he just gets one all the time just so he doesn't have to.
Yeah. Yes.
And okay. What is the brother dynamic? What is...
So I'm the older brother.
Yeah.
The better looking one, better at sports. No, I'm kidding.
We'll have to just phone him after this and just confirm that, in fact, you beat him in golf. We'll just confirm that.
No, confirm that. If he doesn't, I mean, we tied the last time we played, but I mean...
Is this on gross or Stableford?
On gross.
Okay.
We always play off the shoulder. Shame my poor stepdad has to handle us. And when we play in Kenton over the holidays, it's not fun for him. But he always backs himself. He's got a theory for everything, which I love. So every Tuesday I'll go at balls with him. We go at balls on the driving range, and he's like, okay, cool. I've seen this YouTube video. This is how my shoulders must turn. And I just sit there. I'm like, okay, I'm just chipping balls. My shoulders just, I'm not getting good rotation. I'm like, cool. You're going to come up with something else next week. I look forward to hearing that.
And Stoney, have you given him anything lately?
The only thing I can maybe do is outdrive him, but okay. I think that's about it.
So you haven't found him on an off day yet?
The only off day I find him is on Call of Duty when he's a little bit angry, or Maddie is not doing what he's supposed to.
I got you.
Or he's hiding there in the wilderness, and Brandon and I are trying to shoot a group of people.
So just for everyone to know, so how we met was beginning of lockdown, just broke my ankle a couple of days before lockdown. And I was thinking to myself for a couple of days, what am I going to do to keep myself busy? So PlayStation it is. I ended up buying an Xbox.
You're wrong there. You got the inferior device, but...
Yeah, I got the Xbox, but I was financially planning for the next couple of months because it was the cheaper version. Okay. And Got Matt Biggs, one of my good friends, onto Call of Duty. And then a couple of weeks later, ended up meeting, obviously I know Brandon, ended up meeting him on Call of Duty, which was quite cool.
It sounds like that Call of Duty is so popular to play. Why do you guys love it so much?
It was something to do, and all of us, the four of us, are all competitive.
Yeah.
So how do you do something competitive when you're locked out?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't do anything. You're going to go play chess against your wife, you know?
You can only beat her so many times.
Yeah, exactly. So, it was so cool. The amount of that I got to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning. o'clock in the morning? I'm trying to sleep.
Ridiculous. I mean, like you go back, it would be wake up, play Call of Duty for about 2-3 hours. Mm. Then a quick lunch break, back on to Call of Duty. Dinner, Call of Duty. Mm. Maybe a quick workout in between, otherwise we're all going to roll out of lockdown. And I would go to bed at like 3 o'clock, maybe FaceTime someone briefly for an hour or so and then go to bed. Then it was just on repeat. And I've actually met some incredible people while playing Call of Duty, like Arthur, Matty Biggs.
Well, incredible.
I call.
You know, I wouldn't, just state that out there, Corbin.
Like Matty Biggs, I call him Panda or Panda B because that's his username. So if I do
but that actually goes back to old friendship with Biggsy. When myself and Biggsy, listen, I don't know why we're talking about Biggsy on the show. It's going to feel special.
You wanted a special mention. So I got you in. So
just edit that out.
We were roommates first year out of school and he was a unit, like proper Panda. That's where Panda came from. He was literally built like a panda bear. But now he's looking good. He's lost all that weight and looking like an athlete these days.
Listen, but before I get onto my next question, I just want to quickly acknowledge that Carl Barker is sitting in the studio here with us at the same time. He's going to be our next guest. But we thought their stories are so strong individually that we want to tell it individually. But also congrats, Kylie, on all the success you've had in golf in this year particularly. What a great start. And still the nicest guy in golf that we know. Almost too nice. Now you can talk loudly. We know you, yeah.
You'll see how competitive he gets.
Yeah, very. Very, but just
Boshy was basically saying that he could match your clubhead speed with a 4-iron, so I'm very amped for that.
Well, we about to found that out not too long now.
He's going to leave the room now and take his bands and start warming up.
Guy's going to go warm up, run around the block, just get him. Yeah, but you are an absolute size. I must be honest, with all my research, I didn't expect you to be this tall. How tall are you?
188. I've grown a centimeter in a year. I don't know how.
At this age, that's weird.
Yeah.
Well,
freak of nature.
Yeah, of nature. But now, in the cricket side, and we'll get to the fun stuff now. But there's a lot of youngsters at the moment that is taking cricket as a future sport for them, or the parents and them, they want to take cricket on. What would you say to youngsters at the moment that wants to take cricket on as a professional sort of career?
A big thing for me is enjoyment. I think sometimes people lose the sight of that, where it is a very competitive sport.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so many positions that you can fully, especially amongst the team. So for me, a big thing is enjoyment, and it's just hard work and dedication at getting better at whatever it is you do. It's one of those where, as long as you surround yourself with the right people, I think that's also massive, and get the right coaches and realize that cricket is a game of failure. And it's just, if you can succeed more often than you fail.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is even your best test cricketers in the world, like Steve Smith and all of them, they don't score hundreds every weekend or 50s every weekend. But when they sense their opportunity that this is their day, they make sure that day is literally just belongs to them.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those where if you can handle the downs and not, they always say, never make your highs too high, never your lows too low, which is like a big thing with cricket, where sometimes you, as a batsman, you get 5 ducks.
Yeah.
But it's that perseverance to just keep going that your run of form is around the corner. As long as you are doing the right things, training in the right manner, that breeds success.
Yeah.
And as long as you believe in yourself, I think that's also a big thing, is believing in yourself, because that's a huge aspect of this game, because there's a lot of people that want your spot, that think they're better than you. Yeah. But as long as you believe in yourself, in your abilities, and having fun at the same time. I mean, I went through a patch where I wasn't enjoying my cricket. And even now, being off for 2-3 months, I just realized this love for the game. I refound, like, love. At least women don't count.
Yeah.
But I've really, like, invest myself in the game, watching cricket. Because sometimes when you play a lot of cricket, you don't really want to watch.
Yeah.
I'm sure
And
I'm sure it's the same with a lot of sports, where it's too much, like, you want a safe space.
Yeah.
And you realize, okay, cool, like, I found that love again. And I go to training and I'm excited to go to training. I'm excited just to gym and all of that, where, like, that's what, when you're enjoying yourself, that's when you bring out your best self, which brings out your best performances.
So golf and cricket's relatively similar.
I was going to say quite different, isn't it?
No, well, in terms of, like you mentioned it just now, there's a lot of failure in golf.
Yeah.
In cricket. Very similar to golf. I mean, we speak about this all the time. I don't want to harp on it. The percentages of win. I mean, Tiger's at 14%.
12%.
12%.
At his peak.
And then the next guy is at 4%, 5%.
Rory, I think it's 7%.
I mean, yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Nuts. I mean, like, obviously, golf is very drastic, or not individual. Drastically different, but, like, it's individual versus team sport. But
yeah.
I still believe, like, cricket is an individual sport played as a team.
If you look, I mean, Temba Bavuma went through a phase where he was just not making runs.
Yeah.
And he had a job to do. And through social media, he got slated, like, badly. And he just stuck to it and persevered and got through it, and he got through out of the cycle, and he's batting well again.
Yeah, no, he's been our best test batter for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Stats wise.
Yeah.
And it almost goes unnoticed because he's not the guy always scoring hundreds.
Yeah.
But he is a fantastic batter and rightly deserves his position.
Yeah.
I mean, like you can say, all formats, it's a tough one, but it just depends on the brand of cricket that people want to play. But how he's come back, and like, his one day cricket has been incredible.
Yeah.
Since he's, like, taken over the captaincy of the white ball stuff.
Yeah.
That's been fantastic. I think it was a really good thing for him. And, yeah, I mean, social media is tough as any sportsman. It's, like, really tough because they do come after you. They'll be your best friend and then they're your worst enemy. And it changes.
Tell us a bit about that. What do you mean?
So as I, like, let's say the Caribbean for argument's sake, like, I did really well. I batted really well for like 2-3 games in a row. And then I got two ducks, like, in Trinidad. I ran past one and then I got a hell of a good nut. And then I sit down and I'm thinking, okay, cool. Like, people then forgot that a week ago, I actually scored a hell of a lot of runs. But now, a week on, I'm now public enemy number one because I'm not scoring runs and this and that. And it does have a psychological effect on you. But if you learn to not, like, dive into it too much and focus on the process of, okay, cool, I followed my process, and understand, like I said earlier, like, it is a game that you're going to fail more than you're going to succeed,
yeah,
unfortunately. But as long as, I think what I didn't do for an extended period of time is, like, give myself a pat on the back when I actually did well. Because when I did well, I was like, okay, cool, I can always do better.
Yeah.
Mm. How can I do better? And I think that's part of me wanting to still get better is good, but not acknowledging that I've actually done really well leading up to that, or just even in that space of time, I'm like, okay, cool, that's something that I've learned, especially over the past little while, that's super important, because your lows are tough. And sometimes you can be on a field with 11 guys, but it can feel you can feel just as lonely as anything if you're just by yourself. But it's one of those where you manage expectation, where outside influence shouldn't influence, like, the way that you prepare, the way that you think about the game. And as I said, I've fortunate enough to surround myself with some really good people, some really good friends, and that always have my back and want me to do the best that I can, followed by an amazing family. Like, all of them are incredible. So I think with the right support structure, like, anything that anyone says is nothing.
If you look at golf, I reckon golf in the last 5 years has drastically boomed. And
I would say 3 years, actually.
Yeah. Mm. But I'm even talking from Sunshine Tour.
It was, yeah, before that, you're right.
Sunshine Tour, European Tour, Live, PGA Tour, prize money, amount of tournaments, different structures, you know, it's booming. Do you think cricket's also heading in that direction with regards to similar outlook?
Yeah, so I think T20, I think that's the format that it's obviously very exciting to watch. And there's a lot of leagues now in the world where
IPL,
your NatWest Blast, your Caribbean, your 100, there's now SA20.
That's also been really good.
That was
really
fantastic. Good. It was a really good tournament. There was some really good cricket played. So I look forward to next year's competition. I think it's going to be really good. And then you have like your PSL, and now there's Canada. You've got Major League in America, which is going to kick off. That starts this year. So
a Big Bash?
Big Bash. I mean, that's a big one. I mean, there's so many tournaments to go around where you might tend to start to see freelancers of guys that maybe towards the end of their career or feel like, okay, cool, I'm not going to play Test cricket for South Africa or One Day cricket, or I won't play for South Africa in general. That they're just going to be like, okay, cool, let me just play
focus on T20.
T20s around the world. And like, you can make a living. The only catch is you need to get in and you need to play some good cricket. And like, to me, is like, if you're playing that good enough cricket, why can't you play for South Africa? I mean, if you're always pushing the door, like, your opportunity will definitely come. And then the rest of these leagues will come with it. I mean, if like towards the end of your career, it's maybe different where maybe you've played for South Africa and you just want to make money and good like financial decisions for your family moving forward. But there's so much to go around. It's like that live boom. Like, the IPL just started, was a catalyst for all this to come.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of controversial, and I know we need to get to golf, but it was a lot of controversial about the IPL when it initially started, similar to when Liv started.
Exactly.
The old guard, they were kicking against that in a tremendous way, and it was Test cricket. Everybody was speaking like, oh, Test cricket's going to lose its ability. But just from a sort of in South African consumer perspective, the cricket from a South African perspective has not had the best of years.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that?
I think like our team at the moment is looking
great,
like really good. Yeah. I think like I think with the two coaches as well, like each has their vision of how they want the team to play the cricket, and they've got a vision in mind and they'll select teams accordingly, which I think is fantastic. I think that we have fantastic personnel in our team, and even guys that you may have not even seen yet. There's some fantastic cricketers in the country where I think that's where this SA20 just will allow, like, over a period of time, allow people to see, okay, cool, like, we have this and this person can be backup to, let's say, should something happen to Aiden, for argument's sake.
Yeah.
Then the next best guy is so-and-so. And then something happens to KG, who's our next best bowler in the country. And then But I also, like, I think it's one of those things where I think they might push guys just to give opportunities, just so they know, okay, cool, should something happen to one of our main guys, that there are guys that have played some international cricket, so should it get into a big competition like a World Cup, T20 or One Day, that they've at least had guys that have played the format, so should something happen to anyone, that there's backup and you're not wondering, okay, cool, this guy hasn't played international cricket, would he be okay? So it's an interesting dynamic, but I do think our cricket is trending in the right direction. We do have a fantastic team. It's putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. And
as it's the right time.
Yeah. And I don't think we're too far away from winning a World Cup. I honestly believe. I think with time, just grooming the right players, which we've got, having an extra couple guys in, whoever they may be, just allowing like to grow that, just grow our international like figure. And then I believe in the next 4 years or so, like we will have a World Cup trophy, as long as the way that we think about our cricket and the way that we trend our cricket is just in the direction of what it's going to be to win a World Cup.
If you ever look at the SAT20, and I think back in the day, based on history, I think a lot of South African cricketers didn't have, I wouldn't say matches or tournaments to play throughout the year. You know, you would have your tests and your one days and
your
then breaks.
Provincial.
And, you know, and then you've got your provincial tournaments and stuff like that. But like with the SAT20, I mean, you're getting big names coming to South Africa, playing against each other every, second or third day?
Yeah, every 2-3 days.
Every two, 3 days. Yeah. And it's high quality cricket, playing all the time with different people. And I think it's a great opportunity for South African cricket.
Yeah, the SA20 was a really good tournament, as I said earlier. Mm. Good, just a place to showcase the talent that we have, but also an opportunity for guys to rub shoulders with your international characters.
I mean,
as you mentioned, like there's so many tournaments now that guys can play cricket where maybe you sit out one tournament or one series for South Africa, but you're playing cricket and all of a sudden you do well, you find yourself back into the mix. Do well there, you stay. And there's not much, like you can always find some cricket to play somewhere. So if you need a break, you can have a break, but if you want to play some cricket, there is a tournament somewhere where if you're a good enough player like Davey Miller, fantastic cricketer, plays all over the world. When you see as a gap, he'll play. Like last year, I was fortunate enough to play with him at the Caribbean, and I never thought or dreamed that I was going to bat with Dave Miller.
Yeah.
So 5 years ago, you told me, okay, cool, you're going to bat with David Miller in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I would have said, you're kidding.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, these things happen, and I batted with the likes of Quinny. I even thought if I even had to play in the same team as this guy, I probably won't bat with him because he's either scored 100 and he probably don't need to bat, or he's already out. Mm. All of a sudden, I'm giving him a fist pump because I went in before him. Mm. And I sit back, I'm like, geez, this is so weird. But it's so fantastic how you, like different teams, like you mingle with so many different players. And I got to know a lot of the West Indian guys in the Caribbean and some of the Indian guys when I was in India. And you just make so many new connections. It's so incredible. And there's so much knowledge out there that I think there's so much knowledge that I'm still to find. And with these tournaments, it just allows you just to grow so much, not even like your game, but you as a human being as well.
I mean, if we can just on Indian fans, because that's crazy, Ney. The fan base that sits in India.
I don't think people understand.
Yeah. Just give us a little bit of insight into that.
So last year, obviously, I was very fortunate enough to be with the Rajasthan Royals that made it all the way to the finals. And in the final, there was 105,000 people in the stadium. And in the beginning, they played that one of the main like Bollywood stars or singers or whatever. I think 90,000 people were singing.
Together. Yeah.
And I was walking down the passage all the way down to the field. And I sat back and I'm like, this is incredible. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I stood next to Trent Bolt and I had goosebumps like all the way down my arm thinking, geez, like it doesn't get more real than this. Like, this is absolutely incredible. And they're just so passionate. They absolutely love their cricket. I think a lot of people will do anything to meet you or get something signed by you.
Yeah.
But as I said, they're probably like your kinder people as well. They're very like giving and respectful, especially when it came to like the staff that I was around in India. So I was super, like I was actually surprised because I've been there before, but not in that capacity.
I have a really, really funny story and it just popped into my brain.
Go for it.
So I played on and off for 2 years in India. So I think in India, if you see a white guy coming into India, you like stick out like a sore thumb.
That you do.
So now I ordered an Uber and I had my massive golf bag in a travel bag and my luggage because I was there for a couple of weeks. So I order my Uber and he sees my bags. He's like, you pay per bag. And I'm like, are you joking? Now this guy, and I know this guy's taking advantage of me. So then I phone all my Indian friends. I get them to speak on the phone and they obviously told him, you're taking a chance here and whatnot now. So he says, now I'm trying to ride this guy because he tried to screw me. So he says, what's in there? No, cricket. He says, oh, you play cricket?
Yeah,
I'm getting ready for the IPL. Oh, no, no charge, no charge.
Yeah.
Free Uber ride. And those oaks are crazy. Like, then he wanted to ask about all the crickets, and I didn't know. I was to ride the conversation.
You're like, should I just continue this line? Yeah.
So I rode it, got a few rides to my hotel, and it was a long, long haul, eh?
Crazy.
Those guys are crazy for cricket, eh? I feel bad lying, but he tried to check me in the beginning, so.
But that support base, is also just incredible. You know, the amount of people that's in India and watch it. And it's very good for us because if you, just from a South African perspective, I mean, I'm very glad that you said that about the South African cricket, you know, and I'm not heavily into the cricket, but from us, you know, it's one of the top three sports that I absolutely love and enjoy, and we all grew up with it. You know, we didn't have hockey as an option when we were younger, but it's good to know that the sport is because it's an incredible sport to watch, and all these different formats that came about really helped the game grow,
definitely.
And it made it sort of gamified it in a bit, and I hope you guys are, meaning gamified that it's in a short burst.
Yeah.
You and then the betting that goes on behind the scenes on cricket is just also. I mean, the guys bet on everything. Yeah. How your bat color is going to be when it comes out. The first shot that you're going to take. It's.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, I don't get involved with that. Yeah. Nor that I'm not allowed to either. But
yes.
I'm not a big. I'm not for gambling.
Unless it's on the golf course, surely. Come on.
I mean, I'll bet $100 if I can outdrive anybody.
But that's just for skin and for a little bit of... Yeah.
But I'm not pro gambling,
like
especially betting. I mean, people have obviously been caught out and it's unfortunate, but some people it's like do or die circumstances, but it doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just an incredible... that SA20 was fantastic. Like, it brought so many people back into the stadiums, which...
It was crazy. It was crazy. Like, Tuesday and Thursday during the week, and you see Wanderers is full.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah, us as players, I mean, we can't be more grateful, and we're here to entertain. As much as we're here to make a living, we're actually here to entertain.
Yes.
You watch us because we want to entertain you.
Yes.
And for us... The more people there are, the more exciting it gets. And I think because of COVID, it died down. So it wasn't as nice to play. You play around your mom that's allowed to come watch.
Yeah.
She has a vaccination card.
Yeah.
But not many people wanted to come because obviously the fear of COVID was so big at the time.
Yeah.
But it was so nice to have people to come in and watch cricket. I mean, it was the fan base. I mean, our first game in Cape Town was fantastic. Our fans... at Paul when we were there were unreal. They made so much noise and it's half the amount of people at most places. But it was just such a fantastic atmosphere at all the grounds where I'm like, why can't it always be like this?
Mm.
And I hope that just allowed to or put forward just a way that South Africans must come watch cricket and be a part of the game and want to play cricket. I think that's more than anything, because we want to grow the game. We want to be the best country in the world when it comes to cricket. And we have, the potential is there.
We have been. It's not like 100%. We've got a great history with that.
And I think it's just a matter of time. I think this SA20 was big for us. Put people's name in the map so they can also play overseas and they can grow their games, because that's only going to benefit us South Africans as a country. Because if he plays for South Africa, then... And he's played all over the world and he's got all the experience that he has. Even if it's at 24, 25, if he's played around the world, then it can only benefit us as a country.
Mm.
And so I really hope, like, moving forward that it just goes from strength to strength, which I honestly believe it will.
I also want to encourage everybody, because I think it's the same thing, you know, Corbin, if you go back to where the show started, you know, it it's a side love project, you know, for me and Arthur. But one of the things, and the Sunshine Tour started doing that very well, and and it's probably what you referred to if you say, you know, go back about 5 years, and not putting Kyle here now on the spot as well. But when you see Kyle speak on their Instagram account, or, you know, Dylan and I do, or they show behind the scenes, that's what draws the that's what draws the fans. Because we understand the game of golf. I mean, there's ups and downs in, you know, to watch it over a 4 day period. It has some boring moments and it has some more exciting moments. And the camera people.
It's normally Sunday afternoon at about 4 o'clock becomes interesting.
Yeah, it becomes interesting.
but
the camera people and the people behind the scenes, they try and make sure that it stays relevant without the 4 day period. But one thing that I do know is that. And the fan base in India sort of proves it because they get behind the players. Yes, they get behind the team, but they really get behind the players. And when you hear something about the players or you learn something about them, and again, Carl, I'm sorry I'm putting you on quite the spot, but when you get to know somebody within the golfing industry, you want to watch them. It's different when you watch them now.
100%.
You played a round of golf with them or you had a chat with them or there's something in personality that clicked. It's not the same anymore when you're now watching a Saturday. You know how glued to whatever he's about to do.
Exactly.
And you're so, I want to say, almost part of the win and the loss. Mm. So if the cut doesn't come
when that putt drops off,
you know, when my mates are around and the guys go crazy like a rugby moment. You know, it's like, come on, get that putt in. Why did that chip go off there? Or the drive goes a little bit left or slice or, you know, draws. You're like, that's what I have started to see, a big change in the golf viewership as well. And that's obviously on stats where it's also grown. So I'm so glad that cricket has all these different formats to draw different fans in, because there's also generational. The older generation probably enjoy test cricket, you know, a little bit more in its traditional sense. But the sponsorships, the money that surrounds those other tournaments is very good for the game of cricket.
Exactly. Like, it's all about growing the game, all formats.
Yeah.
I mean, your traditionalists will... I still see test cricket as your purest form of cricket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it'll always remain that way.
Yeah.
And hopefully it stays that way.
Because that's endurance, né, as
well. And it's a completely different way that you think about the game. It's got to be a lot more strategic and you got to plan a little bit more. Whereas T20 cricket, it is, like you said, it's a buzz. And as you were mentioning, I'm friends with Brandon and through Call of Duty, and I played with Fulco in the beginning of the year. I played some golf, and like you say,
you get so invested. Yeah, you get so invested there.
And I mean, one day I message Brandon, he does well. Then I think, okay, cool, I must message him the next day. Then he does. Then I'm like, okay, what
leave
do
him
I do?
Alone.
I'm like, you know what?
The awkward face.
I hope he knows that I will still support him.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm always watching when I know he's playing.
Yeah.
I'm always, if I can't physically watch, I'm always checking, okay, cool. And when I get a moment, how's Brandon doing?
Yeah.
Or how's Volko doing?
Yeah.
And like you said, that just behind the scenes, when you actually learn the person, you become so invested, which is so incredible. I think that's what sometimes people miss.
Yeah.
Because there are people behind what you see on TV. There's a person behind that, and you get to know the person, then you become invested in the story. Then you realize, like, I'll bowl a wide, be like, oh, why did I bowl a wide?
Or
I tried to hit a six and I got caught in the boundary type of thing. And you're like, why didn't you hit that out of Newlands or out of Supersport Park? And you become that invested, and that's what I'm after. And that's like, I want people to like come along with my story, and I'll express myself the best that I can.
Yeah.
I was exactly the same, like him talking to Brandon. And I'll be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of cricket. Just don't have time to right now. And when I saw he got selected for Paul Royals, that's the only games I watched when I could.
Yeah, because you knew him.
Because I knew.
But that's the whole point. You know what I mean?
And I want to see him do well and do his thing.
Exactly.
And what's the right word? Achieve.
Yeah.
You know, and with Eric as well. Like, I'm so invested with Eric as well, like on the PGA Tour. Like, I hurt when he hurts.
Yeah.
But it's the weirdest feeling. It's super cool though. Like, that just gets your blood flowing, you know?
I'll tell you just a quick story about Volku. I flew down to Bloemfontein probably about a year and a half ago to meet him. And we put the launch unit down. It warmed up a little bit,
yeah,
but nothing, you know, major. Too much. First smack, 336, Gary.
Wait.
What do you mean, wait?
Wait, he's going to do some numbers for us just
okay.
now.
Okay, okay.
I'll try again.
Well, the best for the day was, I think, 344 for Volker. What's your best been? Do you know?
I haven't hit on a flight scope.
Okay.
I've been on a Trackman and all of that.
What was that?
I don't know. I've come close to 140 club head speed before.
Okay, that's unless good. But there won't be...
You can't jerk a club head speed on a flight scope or Trackman.
So Trackman and flight scope, the only difference is compression of ball. We just do it post-compression. But the numbers were very similar to both of those effects. But then I met him, and just like you, I'm also invested because he's got a great coach as well in Bloemfontein that stands behind him. And he's also Peter Miller, obviously, with Johan Rupert. He's an incredible guy, humble guy, very quiet.
I love him. I'm a big fan. He's got dry jokes.
Which I really
do enjoy. I mean, I played golf with him at Pearl Valley when I was with the Paul Royals, who managed to sneak out a day that Maddie and Vilko played with myself and Dave, and the golf ball just makes a different noise.
And I
sit there and I'm thinking, okay, cool, I'm going to get you. So I got him once or twice. He might not admit it.
I'm very excited for the shootout here.
He'll outdrive me by 20 meters on his good one, and then I'll beat him by that too, and I'll just see.
When you struck it out of the air.
I want to – I've got so many other stuff on the cricket side, but let's switch over onto the golf side. When did this bug hit you?
I've always loved my golf, but – I would say I've really dived into golf, almost like the science behind golf. I follow a page called Tour Experience Golf on YouTube.
Yeah.
And there's just so many different aspects to golf that I didn't realize were there, because they dive deep into the technology behind shaft, behind golf balls, wedges, the flights and all of this. And I don't know how I got onto their page, but since then, I got really invested in how I look at the game of golf. And they obviously had a guy that swings close to what I swing to. So I often see what numbers he puts out and I'm like, okay, this potentially could work for me. And it's just golf is something I'm really passionate about. It's my get out of jail, get away from society. I mean, this little white thing isn't going to hurt me as much as someone bowling a ball at me at 140.
Yeah.
So I can inflict as much damage as I want to. And, I mean, I've always had decent ball sense. I think it's one of those where you play decent golf and you think to yourself, okay, cool. I do enjoy this. How can I be better? I'm always looking for ways to improve myself, whether it be chipping, putting. I had the yips at one stage, so hopefully slowly curing one.
Yeah.
But I'm just so passionate about my golf and I love technology. I'm always, new shafts come on, new Acras come out, or new TPT shafts are out, and I'm watching on YouTube thinking, okay, cool.
Which is the next one you're getting?
Yeah, which one am I going to ask Arthur? Should I maybe try this? But as I said, I'm super invested in my golf. You'll see if you look at my golf bag, it's probably not the bag I should have, but I'm a big Tiger Woods fan, so...
So tell us about your bag.
So in my bag, I've got obviously Tiger Woods wedges.
Yeah.
Because
what's the pin?
Where did you get those from?
I have my sources.
Arthur from your competitor.
So I got those wedges. Arthur's going to be help me out with. I've got wedges in my old Vokies.
Okay.
I just like the feel of the TaylorMade's. A little bit softer, the Vokey is just a bit clicky for me, and they spin in a better window, or what I feel. There's my golf nerd. I've got S400s in them. I want to get my X7s in them. I also prefer the handle is just a little bit thicker, which then I don't need to wrap my grips. And then I've got P7 TWs. I think I'm a very high spin player as it is, but I don't need distance. And I feel like I'm what they call a ball striker.
We'll soon find out.
We'll soon find out.
especially when it comes to irons. Irons are probably the best part of my game. I've got a set of also Dynamic Gold X7s and those. I play it up to a 4-iron because I feel like I can hit the ball far enough. I think with a 4-iron, I could probably carry it about 230, 240. And then I've got
That's why we haven't played golf together, because I just don't want to be that guy who's hitting first and Corbin's hitting 4-iron past my driver.
Arthur, and not Shane, but you just have a slower swing speed.
No,
it's part of your game.
You're straighter.
Exactly. Dude, I was just going to say your coordination.
Bring your checkbook.
Yeah. Because it doesn't matter if I'm on the course with him and I go past him, because he always ends up better with me in the hole, and that's all that counts. Yeah. And then, not always.
Yeah. Then I got a Apex UW that Maddie organized for me. Beautiful club.
Yeah.
I just need the right shaft for it, but the good man Arthur is definitely going to help me out.
No, we'll figure it out.
Three wood, I've got a Maverick, obviously extra stiff. And then I've got a Hazardous Green 70TX, thank you, Brandon, with a triple diamond Maverick head, which hopefully I can...
Is Biggsy not coming to the party? You've gone, there's been Rogue, ST and Paradigm. Is he still giving you the old stuff?
Yeah, he's giving me I've been asking for Paradigm since I heard... Since I watched like videos of people pre-hitting
them. You were at the launch in South Africa.
That new Paradigm triple diamond.
And I said to him, listen, I'm waiting. Maddie, I'm still waiting. And he'll tell me, no, our shipment's coming in July. It's almost July. And I'm going to America. I'm going to Canada. I need it.
FYI.
But I love my golf. I'm very passionate about my golf. Any way that I can get better.
What ball do you play with? Let's finish with that.
I was going to ask.
Golf ball. At the moment, I'm using a TP5X.
Yeah.
I do prefer a firmer feel when it comes to irons and the driver. And also, it spins a little bit less. Comes out a little bit lower off my club head. So,
if you had to play with a high-spinning ball, you would...
Yeah, I do hit moon balls. So, it's definitely helped lower my ball flights. Even the shafts and the actual heads that I use in my irons... I can flight it just how I want it. So as good as what my abilities are, after watching Brandon, I feel like I'm useless.
Yeah, but so I'm just looking at the nose. But, I mean, we shouldn't do that to ourselves, Corbin. I mean, if you feel that way, what do you think the general amateur feels like? And I know in golf you would be considered an amateur as well. But you shouldn't compare yourself to these guys, because it's just ridiculous what they can do.
No, they do.
I mean, put him in the cricket nets. You know?
No, I say the same thing, but sometimes I sit there, I'm like, okay, cool. I can do what you do.
Yeah.
I did one shot, I'll be like, yeah, I got you, Brandon. Golf is easy. Next hole, driver, OB. And then he just hits another one, striped it down the middle. I'm like, come on, you make this look so easy. It's actually annoying.
So, Corbin, that's what I'm going to tell you, and Scott Brits would tell you the same. If you listen to all the professionals, that's what they do consistently. But that would be your comfort zone in cricket. But I'm glad to hear that, because that's the most frustrating and most loving thing about golf.
Yeah.
You go out there, and sometimes for 9 holes, I feel like I don't even know what I'm doing.
Exactly.
I've never played this game. I can't tell you what I'm doing wrong. And then the next 9, you go out there and shoot a flat line.
It's always the 18th. The 18th, you birdie 18.
Yeah.
That's what also happens when you have a fitting booked at 9 o'clock and then message me at 7 o'clock in the morning and say, so you must sickle with your cappy golf clubs.
You've got your chirping for the morning. Okay. But I'm glad you mentioned I haven't been fitted yet. By Arthur yet. I'm still on other clubs. But I'm looking forward to that fitting, Arthur.
Yeah.
So that I can kick your... Did I kick your ass at PCC or not?
No chance.
Oh, didn't I? Are you
My
sure?
back was sore.
Huh?
Were you carrying?
Back was sore.
Oh, yeah. But won the Black Gary Player Golf Day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which happened at Pretoria Country Club. Just a quick story there. So now there's major prices.
Like huge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And for whatever reason...
No, everyone knows the size of the golf day the prizes are.
Then
So the guys, now they're scared of people cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they announced that they're going to draw prizes. They're going to put numbers, prize from 1 to 20 or whatever.
1 to 30.
1 to 30 or whatnot. So if you're number one, if you win, they pick you. We won a 400 Rand flippin' butchery voucher.
No, it was a bakery.
Bakery.
Bakery. And the first prize was like 7 days to a 5-star lodge somewhere.
Oh, no.
And we won the day. And then here we go. And here's we pick, and it was the other guy that played with us. And he picked like the 30th prize.
Yeah.
And to this day, I send him SMS, WhatsApp, and I'm never playing with you again.
I wouldn't.
I would never.
I wouldn't.
I'm never playing with that guy again.
And go try your mom out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a guy that he's got a Guinness World Record
for trying mom.
For trying the amount of Bovril.
Bovril.
I love Bovril.
Yeah, me too.
It's so good.
But I promise you, he sits and he eats the Bovril as a Guinness World Books of Records.
The fastest amount. Spoon.
Yeah, with a spoon.
How much Bovril?
Dude, a couple of bottles.
Yeah, exactly. And then it gets stuck. Under and so it dries while he eats. And then he eats like hospitalization.
Is getting like dry, exactly, just thinking like,
exactly. Exactly. I can't remember exactly what was his name, like Dusty, I can't remember.
Shows how good we are.
Yeah, shows how good we are. But then your day-to-day stuff on the golf and stuff, I mean, you're obviously, as a professional cricketer, it's probably very nice for you, and you've probably also got a lot of connection with the professional golfers, eh? That's in South Africa and etc.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, I'm very close with Brandon, so as soon as he's home, we always do something. I mean, our paddle is a big thing, so he loves it.
Yes.
And he's got, like, he's really good, so it's also nice to, like, do something other than what we both normally do.
Yes.
Like, are you playing paddle next week, by the way, before you leave?
That's fine. Because I'm a man of my word. I'll hurt your feelings, but it's okay.
You're going to run.
It's fine.
No, but I'm used to running all day. On a serious note, just make sure you warm up, because I don't want excuses of pulling calves and hammies and stuff, because I've caused a problem on the court before. Okay, just
these,
warm up.
These knees aren't weak.
No, the amount of people that snap their Achilles on a paddle court's
hectic.
It's a hectic. No, physio's dream.
You know when we get old, I was at Arthur's nappy party. What was it?
I felt that the next day.
When was that? About?
It was, I think it was December, November, December.
Yeah, and a lot of the golf guys, cricket. All the OEMs and, you know, all the golf guys are there. And it's
played action cricket.
Action cricket.
Oh, really?
You know, and I mean, you know.
I haven't played that in ages.
Buddy, it was about 45 minutes. The one guy, hospital.
Pulled his calf.
Oh, no.
And he was the biggest oak.
Yeah.
Like a unit. Yeah. Like Jim Bunny.
It's always that.
It's always that. And I mean, here we sit and we just start losing people. And we're
one by one.
The party haven't even started. And I'm also, you know, afterwards walking around there, because the thing that what men and their egos, nay. So golf has always been a part of my, I mean, I've stayed fit over all these years, but I haven't played cricket since school, you know. And here I go thinking I am you. On today, full out. I smack the thing as hard. I everything, and then just snapping. You just heard snapping. I just snapped everything as they went along.
My worst is, and I don't know why it happens. You'll know this. Like the minute you bowl a cricket ball and you're not warm, that dead rush of blood or whatever happens to your arm is like for me like the worst feeling. It's that like nerve.
Do you bowl with a bent arm or straight?
I probably chuck it.
Oh, I don't
maybe,
know.
Maybe
I
that's why. Those that throw
it.
Get a bit of.
I a little
but
bit
it,
of
it is that first throw of the morning, like more your like your pick.
Yeah.
That first ball in the morning. If I haven't warmed up bowling, it's definitely one of those things you feel. But if you haven't bowled in ages, so my stepdad, he often plays. He plays once a year for, they called the Wales group.
Yes.
So he also went to Pretoria Boys like me, and so they play in the beginning of the year against the school kids. And then in September, October, they go to the Kruger and they play against the Rangers.
At Skukuza.
At Skukuza.
That's cool, yeah.
And he always says to me, okay, cool, like I need to go to the nets. I need to bowl some because I'm going to get stiff. Do we go to the nets?
No. Okay, nope. So even you guys don't do that.
And then he goes, plays that day. He was on the floor halfway through.
Lying like this. There's a Dylan Fratelli the moment.
I tapped him. I'm like, listen, you've got to go bat now, because I didn't play. I was just umpiring.
Yeah.
Because they thought I actually wore whites. I dressed up thinking I'm going to play, warmed up on the side. And then I said, guys, I'm not playing. And yeah, so he bowls. The next day, we play golf. I've never seen such a stiff swing. Yeah.
Like the Sunday after that action cricket.
No.
Dude, my rotator cuffs. Like You have no idea.
Yeah, like, we moan to each other a little bit. Let's be honest. Huh? Like, how are you feeling?
That first time you bowl in the season, it's different.
Yeah.
Where I walk home, I'm like carrying my shoulder all the way home.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, my bio has actually been fantastic at the moment. Where I thought, okay, cool, it's obviously just my back that's been the problem. So fixes that. She's like, why don't you we do some shoulder stuff?
Yes.
Boy, I've been crying. I go to training every day, like holding it, either my hammies that are super stiff or my shoulder I can barely lift, and I'm trying to bowl. I'm like, I tell her, listen, like, I need to chill a little bit. When do I get a break? She's like, we're here to get you fixed.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Like, cricket is, it's one of those weird sports that you need to, like, ease yourself into it. Even if you're just having fun, make sure you just warm up somehow, because boy, do you get stiff.
Yeah.
And I do it for a living. If I don't bowl for a month or something and I bowl again,
yes,
game over. Then I just know the rest of my day, right off.
Mm. Yeah.
Call of Duty.
Corbin, I tell you, when you talk about warm ups, man, when the professionals warm up, and you know, whether it's the pros on the tour, the golf tour, you guys, you know, it looks so structured. Man.
Yeah, start then off with the wedge.
You check the amateurs.
20%
you know,
shots.
It's these odd moves that the guys are making. It's almost like a meme.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The professionals warming up, and then you check the amateurs. What are you warming up there, buddy? What are you?
Swiping a couple.
What are you warming up there? So I just wanted to say to you, Corbin, you know, something you said because I know that your dad's not with you anymore today. And when you said, so if you go into this studio, the golf club's there is my dad's last club that he played. And you'll see there I dedicate the space and everything we do here to him.
Yeah.
That's very good to do. And when I asked you earlier about your dad's legacy, there's nothing wrong with generational legacy. It's always what we do with it.
Yeah.
You know? But people that don't do anything falls into the spoiled brat or not grateful enough. You know, that category.
Yeah.
You know, or just whatever you want to refer to them as. But I'm very proud of what you've done and how you've taken that. And I completely understand that sentiment of having your dad close by.
Yeah.
You know, because they impact our lives majorly.
Huge.
And I can just, when I listen to you of how your mother, you know, stepped in and stepped into a wonderful role, and I don't know your stepdad's involvement, but it's really incredible, and we're so grateful for parents that still do that, parents that still hand over to them kids, you know, wonderful skills in life when it comes to gratitude and greeting everybody. And it's now the third time that I'm mentioning Carl Barker, but if he walks into this office, he greets everybody. And it's not today, it's from day one.
Yeah.
He greets everybody, whether it's, you know, he goes and says hi to everybody. And Scott Brits, must ask Arthur, the most successful people we have on this show is humble.
Mm.
They are not you. They don't care about fanciness. Yeah, I'm too good for this or that. They come and sit here and like, listen, we normal guys. We've happened to have a bit of more professional success than most people.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't make me a, you know, I'm not better than you you are you.
Not. Exactly.
So really, really encouraging to see somebody at your age that has that mindset and attitude. And I'm grateful for what your dad passed on to you. And I'm so grateful also that you carry your dad with you. Because personally, I really relate to what you said there.
That beautiful golf bag there.
Yeah, that Arthur, what do you call it? Insulted. You know?
He's like,
get that piece of bag out of there. I'm like, it's my dad's last bag that he played with Arthur. You know, FYI.
That's why I brought that in, just to like, you know, throw that in there. But I felt like the biggest when I said that. You should have said nothing and told me like in private.
Listen, if you know my dad, he would have been on the floor laughing about that. Laughing about that. And even when I reflect on that batch, I'm like, oh man, why didn't I buy my dad a nicer bag? You know what I mean?
Sure.
But so it was so nice to chat to you today. Yeah. And this is so encouraging. And when Arthur and I, we put this year, it's often sometimes awkward for us, because it's awkward that you, even on camera for us, but we knew that we wanted to start conversation with young sports stars and golfers and a lot of people in that field, because there's no South African platform for this.
Yeah.
We hear a lot about American stuff and European stuff, you know. But in cricket, there's a little bit, because like we spoke about AB de Villiers, I mean, that guy's also just on another level. And his involvement in his business mind and where he's taken the himself and such a wonderful family. But it's really good to know that are guys like you in South Africa, South Africans, that are making great success around the world. And I want to congratulate you for everything that you've achieved.
No, thank you.
And for having the mindset of saying, I'm not even close to being done. I've still got a lot to go and chase. And whatever you're going to do, I really bless your journey. And all the support team that you have around you, because we know how many people is involved in this.
Yeah.
Yes, individually within a team capacity, you walk onto that field with the bat or the ball, and you need to individually make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's a team result, you know, at the end of the day. So it's so good, and we bless you, and thank you very much that you took the time today to come and sit with us. And I'm very excited for you to kick our asses right after this in a what
challenge,
a long drive challenge.
I'm not taking part in that.
Arthi, I think we knew that.
Yeah. We can go nearest the pin. I'm game down for short game. Let's go.
Yeah, short game. He always brings it back to short game.
Just put an iron in my hand. Maybe I can come close.
You know, every time I chirp Arthi, he's always going, hey, short game, man.
Short game's key.
Hey, you know, fastest hands in the West.
Softest
hands in the West. Arthi, from your side?
Yeah, no, Boshi, thanks for your time. I'm super excited for your journey still. I think you've got a lot to still do, and super excited to see your journey. Good luck for Canada. So in Canada, they go, hey.
Hey.
Canada,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
So if you want to fit in, just go say, hey.
Yeah. You know the Nelf boys, obviously.
Mm-mm.
Oh my word! Then I'm not an AF. But they're young. Canadian YouTube channel.
I'll probably look at it.
Also love golf. Golf. Do you know Davy Jacobs at all?
Listen, I was trying to have my moment here with
Boshi. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that was very rude. No, that was such a rude moment.
And
my apologies.
Super, super keen to see what happens for the next couple of years. I just had to just give a
That was a fair was selfish there. I'm completely with you, Arthi. Sorry. Do you know Heinrich Schreidom?
Yes, for Dolphin. He's the Dolphin CEO, so he's the CEO for my brother.
He grew up in Potch with me.
Oh,
he went to Chemies. Same level. We are, you know, born in 1982, Farki. Yep. He's actually Farki. So next time you see him, Farki.
Okay, I'll tell Ethan.
Heinrich Strydom, if you talk to anybody in Potch, it's Farki. Now, like I said to him the other day, now you're fanciness with your Heinrich Strydom. No, you're Farki. That's what we knew you from last quarter.
You stay that way.
You're Farki. So well done, and all the best to you. And when are you starting with the new team?
The tournament starts on the 20th of July, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so you're actually flying out quite soon from now.
Yeah, so probably in about a month's time, I'll be flying out.
Okay. And then obviously climatized there at the same time, because it's a whole different...
Yeah, quickly, hopefully.
Yeah.
Because when I was in the Caribbean last year, I was sleeping at 6 o'clock and I'd wake up at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I'm wide awake and it's dark outside.
Yeah. Because it's that traveling... I was in America now in January and I haven't been there for a while, but it's tough, huh? It gets you a little bit. It took me about 5 days.
Yeah, it takes me like 2-3 days, as long as I can sleep at the right time. Yeah. If I get that first sleep right.
Yeah.
But man, do I up every time. Every time. I'm either in bed by 6 or 2:30.
Yes.
But when I came back, it was even worse, where the first night I slept an hour.
My word.
Because I was so awake.
Yeah. But luckily, you guys are in such great shape.
Yeah.
And still got a bit of young blood in you. I'm not saying it's easier. But I want to feel like it's easier for my own justification, for my own inability to recover quickly. Anything from your side for the people around you or anybody that you want to say anything on the last note?
First of all, I just want to thank you guys for having me. As I said, I've watched you guys and I'm completely blessed and grateful that you guys wanted me on the show.
Thank you.
It's lovely to speak to you guys. The conversation was easy, as it always is. Firstly, my family, I'm so grateful and so thankful that I have you guys in my corner. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And I know they'll have my back in the future. Mama Bear, I love you to bits. Always got to. She's my heart and soul.
What's her name?
Coronan.
Coronan, shout out.
And then, like, to my stepdad, Brian, who obviously treats my mom like a queen, he's been so fantastic to me and the rest of our family, and very grateful for him to have him in my life, and someone that I can also speak to, and I can't always speak to my mom about it. And just to everyone, like, life's a journey. Enjoy every moment, and it's just be who you want to be. Don't try to be anyone else, and have a hell of a lot of fun.
Thank you, Corbin.
And see you on the sticks.
See you. Awesome.
Call of Duty.